Live Wire Talk, podcast world.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of Live Wire. I'm Steve Flynn. I'd like to welcome author and publisher Graham Slater back to the show. Hello, Graham.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be with you again.
Another book review.
Yeah, that's right. The one this time is it's a bit unusual. I know I did Flip It a while ago by Michael Heppel, which is, I say, a life-changing book. It just is helpful to most people. I think if you're going to read one book, it's great to read one of these types of books and in this genre, because it will give you ideas and hopefully correct things that are going wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. So this one is called Love Your Life by a gentleman called John S. Rushton. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a bit of research for John, because I've never met him. And there is another gentleman called John S. Rushton who is actually an actor. Right. I don't know whether he's American or British, but he's a bit of an actor, a bit of a famous actor. So anyone who wants to go out and get this book, don't, for goodness sake, when you go on to Google, come up with an actor's name. You really want to be looking for John S. Rushton.
Yeah.
And John's job is, he calls himself a life alchemist. Mm-hmm. And he helps people in transition to change their lives from where they are now to where they need to be, better placed and happier. And reading through this book, all the way through, there is this this two-syllable word, or three syllables really, isn't it, which is happy. And you know, he says, if you're happy in life, then really you can do most things, because no matter if you've got a lot of money or you're struggling, if you're happy, you attract people that will probably help you and take you through make your life even happier. Mm-hmm. and successful in a way. And success, of course, is measured differently by everyone.
Yeah.
What he says is, if you are happy, you can cope with anything. If you're not happy, then regardless of your trappings in life, and it's whether you're a lottery winner or a millionaire or anything like that, everything is a struggle. And of course it is, isn't it? Because people who win the lottery, you often read in the papers how bad they are and what a state they're in, because they just can't cope with it, because they're not happy. It's not really what is meant to be for them.
Yeah.
So that's you know, what the book is about. Now, what John has done, and I admire him for it, because as you said earlier, I'm an author myself. He's actually planning a series of at least 10 books.
All right.
In the series The Alchemy of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite a daunting task, really, because obviously this, the one I'm reviewing here, he's obviously taken a long time to put that together and to create a mountain for himself of 10 books.
Mm.
Another 9, depending on how you look at it, is going to be quite a task for him. But good luck to him, and you know, if he can crack it and gets the success that I think he'll get, then it'll be good for everybody.
Mm. Yeah.
What he says, some of the little things, I'm just pulling a few anecdotes out, but what he says is, we need to enjoy life. It almost goes without saying, but we do, and by and large, most people do enjoy life to a large degree, but they hold back, and a lot of people's enjoyment of life and their work is what basically happened to them as they were growing up, when they were children, and if you're going to enjoy life, it's got to be lasting and not just fleeting moments. So sometimes people have a pint of beer and they feel really happy, or they smoke something naughty and they feel great, but it's a fleeting moment. And what he says in his book is that people should aim to be happy the majority of their life, really, because then you can cope with most things.
Yeah.
He also says you're a product of your own creation and a product of your own mindset, and of course happiness is in the mind. And you know, we all get detracted and attracted from things we read in the paper that makes us miserable, and we just, I don't know, you could be really happy and driving along in your car and you hear something on the news and you think, oh my god, you know, and immediately your mood changes. And I think when that happens, it's pretty bad. I mean, do you get that sort of thing, Steve?
I do. I find that if like you say, you're driving the car, My favourite song might come on the radio, I think, oh yeah, you get that oh yeah feeling, great, you know.
It lifts you.
Yeah.
Now, you imagine if you could have a CD or play all the records you liked, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Because drive the missus up the wall.
It was only I on cassette, mine were. But no, I think if you can hit that and get that high, and and I think you can deal with a lot more problems if you're happy. But it's getting to that mindset. And I know I've been to meetings and lunches where I've seen speakers, and I thought, cool, they're good, they're clever, they're happy, they're everything else. And you talk to them afterwards, and it's actually a facade. And John picks this up in the book quite carefully, and he also mentions the wow factor, where you see an actor or film star, or as I've just said, a speaker, and you think, wow, that's great. But when they come off and you actually talk to them, it was an act that they were putting on, and that wow factor wasn't really it was an act, it wasn't them as they really are. And of course, a lot of actors, comedians, I've met a lot of comedians who talk to them in the light of day, and they can't even tell a joke.
Exactly.
You know, you meet a lot of artists, don't you, singers and songwriters, and some are absolutely brilliant, and a lot of them, you think, God, how do you manage to make a record or to write a song like that?
Yeah, you get to see both sides. You get to see the professional side and their own side, sort of thing.
That's right, and I think it's very sad. So I've seen that quite often, and what John is saying is, yes, we're all very good at what we do. You come over great on the radio. I've never met you, but you come over great on the radio, and your mood comes over. But if you weren't happy, I'm sure the listeners who would listen to you every Saturday morning and on other shows, they pick up on that. And I think we're all more perceptive than we really know we are, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who would you say the books? What age group would you say it's aimed at? Sort of like 18 upwards? Or younger upwards?
I think it's got to be someone who, I mean, I'm a writer, as I said myself, and John puts it across very, very well indeed. But I think it's not just reading the words, it's taking in what he's saying. And, you know, you read the papers and you just flick it over and throw the paper away. With a book like this, you really need to read it, not digest it, but you need to be old enough to understand it. And I think I tried playing music while I was reading this, and I couldn't do it. You need to sit quietly, maybe put music on very quietly in the background, but basically sit quietly. It's an ideal book to take on holiday, sit in the garden and read, but you really want quiet and just read it, not try to get anything out of it initially. But what will happen with books like this, you read it, and then the second time you go back to it, and I hope people that buy it do go back a second time, because you get so much out of it. And it's like any film or record you hear. The second time you hear it, you watch a film, you realise things that you didn't notice first time.
Yeah, you could use it as like a reference, couldn't you?
It is very much a reference book, but of course, and he split the chapters up well, and he's got a little drawing on the opposite page of each chapter, and he's got lots of great headings: listening, the wild factor, what else has he got here? The meaning of life, things like that, and I just think that it's a book for anyone, but you need to be mature enough, reading wise, and intellectually to a point, to really read it. And you don't want to be interrupted while you're doing it. You know, it's pointless otherwise, because it's not like a novel or anything. You can put it down and pick it up again. With something like this, you really need to read the chapter, maybe reread it, and then put the records on or whatever. Yeah. But you need to be quiet and relaxed to read it. And I would say, 18, 20 plus. But it's a very good book, and I think it's the sort of book that once you've got it, you'll probably keep, and hopefully build up until you've got the whole set. Which, you know, I'm quite intrigued how he's going to get the next nine books done. But I'm looking forward to it, certainly.
Yeah. Where's it available from?
Right, it's available from Filament Publishing, and that's Filament, F-I-L-A-M-E-N-T, as in light bulb, the filament and the light bulb. It's on the web, a very good site, Filament Publishing. They've got a lot of self-help books on there, and I know John doesn't call his book self-help, but they've got a lot of self-help books on there, and the website is very good, nicely presented. It's £10, and I know you can get it from them from mail order. I haven't seen it on Amazon yet, but it's a reasonably new book, so it'll probably be a month or two before it hits Amazon.
Yeah, is that a paperback or hardback?
It's a paperback, and as I say, number one, I'm intrigued. I really am. I can't wait to read 2, 3, and 4, because he's going to have to cover a lot of ground, but good luck to him, and I'm sure he'll be very successful.
Yeah, well, Graham, thank you very much. We're going to look out for that book. What was it called again?
Love Your Life by John S. Rushton from Filament Publishing.
And I'm going to love my coffee. Graham, thank you very much. We'll be talking again very soon, won't we?
Thank you, Steve. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Bye.